You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. One of the cool things about doing All Marine Radio is meeting people that cover the Marine Corps, the Department of Defense, and our next guest is one of those guys who, if you read things about the Marine Corps, and a lot of them come from Marine Corps times, you will certainly recognize his name, that I'll endeavor to pronounce right. Jeff Skogel joins us. I'm nervous about pronouncing your name. Am I pronouncing it right?
It's close enough. Skogel.
Skogel. Damn it. Okay. All right. Now that we have that straight. First of all, Jeff, thanks for doing this morning, and Happy New Year.
Thank you so much.
You've got a new job. Tell us about it.
I am the Pentagon correspondent for Task and Purpose. That means I am now going to be covering the Secretary Mattis and what he's doing for the department for troops. And how the whatever happened to the Pentagon affects not just Marines but all service members.
Okay, all right. Talk to us about so why do that? You obviously were, as I said, you were one of the mainstays. If most of the major stories, at least this is my opinion, your name in the byline was part of a lot of major reporting. At Marine Corps Times. Why did this change make sense for you?
It was an opportunity I just couldn't turn down. I had covered the Pentagon years ago with Stars and Stripes before covering the Air Force and later the Marine Corps. It had been my honor to cover the Marine Corps for about 2 years and really got to know the service very well and the issues facing Marines. But this is a challenge to write about what happens how what happens in the Pentagon affects all service members, not just Marines and sailors, and really dig down into where are troops fighting right now, and what is the U.S. strategy, how are troops being trained and equipped to fight and beat enemies like ISIS and also future adversaries, which will probably be much more technologically advanced and will probably be able to take away some of the U.S. military's advantages, such as satellite communications, email, and other things that have been taken for granted over the past 17 years.
Okay, before we get into, I want to talk about 2018, and I want to give you the chance to, before we allow you to transition to the Pentagon, I want to beat up the Marine Corps for a little bit. First of all, in the rearview mirror, top stories for 2017 relative to the Marine Corps?
Well, the year started out with the Marines United scandal, and that dominated headlines for about 2 weeks. But there were other issues. There was the Paris Island hazing scandal. You had the drill instructor face a court-martial in October. And you also had the first year of changes to the PFT and CFT. We've seen some results based on the PFT of how well Marines are scoring. The CFT, the time to take it, just closed in December. So we should have some results here soon. I think those were some of the bigger stories that dominated Marine Corps headlines.
What do you rank as among those as most significant? I was talking yesterday a little bit about, you know, it's in the age of social media. I mean, when the Marines United paragraph goes into the Wikipedia page, if it's written responsibly, you are going to have what? A handful of active duty Marines of over 200,000, what, 240. Approximately 240 active duty reserve component Marines, you know, probably less than, you know, I don't know, 20 on active duty that ultimately participated in that. But in some way, shape, or form in the weaponization of images of active duty female Marines. And yet the firestorm that gets lit on social media has the Commandant of the Marine Corps on national TV taking face shots. Are there lessons in that? Is that simply the lay of the land and really how it gets played now, that social media takes an issue and puts it on steroids?
Well, what I believe the service has discovered is that the UCMJ really didn't take this type of behavior into account, so-called revenge pornography, which is why the Navy Department made it specifically a UCMJ violation. Excuse me, they made it a violation to do this because they were finding out that if the image was originally taken consensually and then shared non-consensually, there was a limited amount that they could do under the UCMJ. So the Navy Department looked into specifically, okay, if you share this non-consensually, we can punish you. So it really was a moment where the law needed to catch up with what was going on. We'll see. As you said, the number of people who have been prosecuted or court-martialed or received NJP is not great. I'll let your listeners read into that what they want. I could say the response from the top was this needs to stop, but the it does require some kind of cultural change to how not only Marines use social media, but also the issue of women in the Marine Corps, women being integrated into combat MOSs. This is going to be an issue the Marines need to spend a lot of time making clear that this type of behavior towards women is just flat out not acceptable. And I believe it was the Commandant gave just an absolutely blistering video. And he said, if you can't accept this, then maybe you should think about whether you want to be in the Marine Corps.
Right. Right. It's very interesting. I can hear those sergeant majors saying, you know, it's not like the Marine Corps, women recently joined the Marine Corps, right? And again, one of the things you hear sergeant majors say from time to time is, I can fix a lot of things. I can't fix stupid.
That's right.
You know, and so the Marine Corps, of all the services, turns over about, 60% of the force every three
yes.
years, and about 60% of the force is under the age of 26. That skews to stupid, just naturally, and I'm not, that's not an indictment of anybody. It is young and ignorant of, about life and some of the things you can get yourself into and not have enough common sense to keep yourself out of. Is there a lesson in all of that for the Marine Corps? Does there need to be more structure? Does it need to be, more draconian? Because my own opinion is you have young people now that come from a culture that don't like the word, that don't like doesn't like the D word, discipline. And, they don't want our educational system kind of shuns structure as almost a bad thing. And then they come into an organization that is now the people that are from the rank of captain to colonel are the helicopter parents that we read about that go to school and argue with teachers about grades and coaches about my kid just got cut. Those people come from the same group. Are we abandoning the structure and the discipline in the Marine Corps that young people desperately need? I'm curious about your thoughts on that.
Well, I would never say the Marine Corps is abandoning discipline.
Right.
I mean, anyone who thinks the Marine Corps is undisciplined, that, you know, can be corrected in a matter of seconds by having them talk to Sergeant Major. I will say one thing I learned this year is the relative youth of the Marine Corps, being such a young service, does have implications when it comes to combat. I was talking to a retired Major General Scales, an Army Major General, who wrote about how the military needs to get more tactically proficient. And he said, one reason why the majority of casualties in war between the age of 18 and 22 is that I think it's the prefrontal cortex of the brain is not really fully formed until 25, which is why that's when insurance rates start to drop. So when you're in combat and you need to think about how am I going to, after I find the enemy, how am I going to maneuver and going to use guile and deception to eliminate the enemy, people 25 years and older are much better at that, which is one reason why special forces, special operations forces tend to be older. This comes into play at, I was talking to the gunner for 2nd Mardiv, who said, and he's looking at experimenting with future squads. He calls it the Uber squad, Uber in the Nietzschean sense, not in the ride-sharing sense. And he's going to try to make the squad leader a staff sergeant or above, staff sergeant, because he said in, it used to be you could make sergeant in something like 8 years, now it's down to as much as 5.
Right.
He wants to see if having more experienced, older squad leaders has an effect on the rifle squad, which I didn't mean to really go down this rabbit hole, but I should have mentioned that one of the biggest stories in 2017 was the continuous look at what makes up the rifle squad, who's in it, and what weapons do they use. I'm sure your listeners are aware of the latest developments with the M27. The Commandant is considering purchasing more to give more Marines in the rifle squad the ability to have automatic fire, but not without the SAW, which weighs more. And then you look at, okay, well, who do you need as a squad leader? I mean, in reality, I mean, it should be a sergeant, but many times it's a corporal or a lance corporal. Does having an older, more experienced squad leader make the rifle squad more combat effective? Perhaps. A challenge there is, as you mentioned, 2/3 of first-term Marines do not reenlist. The number of NCOs and staff NCOs in the Marine Corps is much less than in the Army and in the other services because you have that high turnover. Where is the Marine Corps going to get that many NCOs and staff NCOs? This also comes into a play. I just did a Freedom of Information request, Freedom of Information Act request, said how many Marines have combat action records? And as you can imagine, in the past 10 years, it has dropped significantly.
Right.
The combat action ribbon may not be the best metric for gauging combat experience because if you were on a MU and you got deployed, that is certainly combat. The Marines who are in Afghanistan since April, they are about to redeploy. I believe one of my colleagues at Marine Corps Times reported none of them are eligible for combat action ribbons, even though they did work directly with the Afghans and helped them greatly start pushing the Taliban back. But that's a long way of saying the amount of combat experience in the Marine Corps has attrited through time.
Right.
And now you have the people who the Iraq and Afghanistan vets are fewer, which means that if you want experienced enlisted leaders, the chance of getting combat enlisted leaders is less in rifle squads.
Well, I'll just use my own experience. I joined the Marine Corps in 1983. I get to the fleet in 1984, and my squad leaders were sergeants, and they were all 8-9 year. Marines, and they were trying to be staff sergeants, and they were salty, they were salty Marines. So they were on their, if you count 3 years as an enlistment, they were on their third enlistment trying to make staff sergeant. And as opposed to, now you'd be early in your second enlistment or midway through your second enlistment, and you'd be the same rank. You simply haven't matured enough in professionally. And now, I have one of my sons is in 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, and as a lieutenant, and he's a grunt. And you're familiar with the experiments that they've been doing. And and so there's more technology shoved down. How does that guy who's I won't say he's a novice, but he certainly doesn't skew towards expert with 5 years of experience in the Marine Corps. How does that guy do that? And yet the Marine Corps, in terms of manpower, is not set up to have staff sergeants be those squad leaders. And Gunner Chris, what's his last name?
Oh, Christian Wade. Yeah,
he's a piece of work, isn't he?
I love his videos. I mean, he did a great video about when to use automatic fire, and right. He just showed the what it's the accuracy of going full auto and. Showing that suppressors do not affect accuracy. And I think he did one where he was making bacon.
He did. I've had him on.
That's certainly, that's one of my favorites.
Right.
Yes, he's the one I talk to a lot about experience. And one thing he made clear is he's not saying that sergeants and corporals can't do the job of squad leader. He's just seeing if having staff sergeants do the job of squad leader just by the fact that they've been in longer increases combat capability. But from my understanding, the issue is not so much that they're pushing so much technology down there. They are looking at, the issue is not that Marines are technophobic. Marines are great at using technology. It's just that if you have a squad leader who has a drone who has to do that, you have a squad leader who has to fight the squad and keep in charge of all this technology. That's why they are looking at making an assistant squad leader to be in charge of the drone and all that, so the squad leader can actually do his job and focus on making sure every Marine is doing what he or she is supposed to be doing. Marines, today's Marines, the young ones, the first termers, they know how to use all kinds of technology. It's just, how much until you super saturate them, you have a Marine with a laptop that's on his or her body armor, which he can use, and then also a rifle and everything else. At what point does it come too much?
Right. Right, and again, I would tell you that as a lieutenant, I thought I was a good lieutenant. I went back to being an instructor at the basic school, and I learned in teaching. I learned all the things I was supposed to learn the first time. I went back as a company commander, and I would have been a hell of a platoon commander. But I'd learned that stuff, and I'd matured as a professional. And I think that's the line that Gunner Wade's talking about, that the Marine Corps, I don't know how much, intellectual rigor it's giving, because it has huge implications for manpower, relative to that kind of movement. But it is a question, given this whole concept of dispersed operations with more
yes.
firepower.
Yes.
Who then commands that? And how do you set that up? So I think it's very, very intellectual. I mean, and again, and also it has to be the other piece that you brought up is we promote different than we used to promote. You get promoted now on the Air Force's timeline, not on the Marine Corps' old timeline, where you were the most, when you were a first lieutenant, you were the most senior first lieutenant wherever you went in when you combined services. Everybody else was junior to you, because we just didn't promote that pass, and so life has changed. I've got an email question for you, Mac. Where do you find Gunner Wade's videos? I've heard you talk about them. I heard a piece of the interview you did when you had him on with Gunner Musselman. Where do you find them, Jeff?
Well, he does have his own YouTube channel. It's 2nd Marine Division Gunner. Also, the 2nd Marine Division Facebook page often puts the videos on, and so does 2nd Marine Division Twitter. So the most up-to-date videos are probably on social media, but if you look on YouTube and just do 2nd Marine Division Christian Wade, you should come across a YouTube channel with the older videos.
Here's another email. Mac, I've read Jeff's work for a long time. It's nice to hear his voice want to wish him all the best at Task and Purpose. When he monitors Marine Corps news, where does he go? So, there's all kinds of ways to monitor news. I mean, you can monitor the most notable outlets, which obviously Task and Purpose, Marine Corps Times, Military Times, are the top, you know, are the top, you know, the Gazette, Leatherneck all have information. But a lot of information now from so many different sources on a daily basis. How do you capture it all?
It is very challenging because, as you mentioned, the sources of information are infinite. First, you have the official sources of news, such as MAR admins and all MARs,
right.
Which I find if I have not checked them in a while, it comes back to bite me. For example, there'll be an all MAR about when Marines can roll up their sleeves, and this is big news. Then there are the other papers, the other media outlets that cover the Marine Corps, such as the San Diego Union Tribune, the Island Packet, military.com. They're very good at keeping up with the latest Marine news. Twitter, I find, is just one big fire hose of news. And when you follow enough people who are interested in or deal with the Marine Corps or cover the Marine Corps, it's a great place for tips. You'll just get fragmentary information that you need to follow up. Also, there are several trade publications, like Sea Power, did a story about Marine Corps vehicles that gave a great breakdown of all the light armored vehicles, how many variants they have, how many anti-tank variants they have, how many are operational. And on top of that, Marine Corps Gazette every month there's something in there that I go, wow, that's really interesting. For example, the Major Peterson wrote a story for Marine Corps Gazette about creating essentially a foreign legion in the Marine Corps focused exclusively on irregular warfare. And we reached out to him and we said, this is an interesting idea. Would you be interested in writing a condensed version for Marine Corps Times, which he did. In the process, I found out he was a company commander with Dark Horse during the Sanjin deployment in 2010-2011. And we asked, well, can you incorporate your experience during that deployment into the story? So there are just so many sources of Marine Corps news. It is really difficult to keep up with the latest.
So how does one do it? Is it just I know that I struggle with it, and I've had people send me different links. I don't know if you know Alex Hollings, who former Marine NCO, writes for SOFREP. He sent me a link to a program called Data Miner, and then I had somebody send me something else. How do you sort through, as you say? It's a gigantic, and again, the aperture of the fire hose is huge. It's enormous, and on a daily basis, it comes at you. And so, if you can't rely on Task and Purpose or Marine Corps Times, you're that guy. How do you, in that business professionally, make sure that you keep your hands on the stories of the day from that gigantic fire hose?
The most important thing is to talk to as many people as possible on any day to try to stay ahead of the news instead of needing to catch up. It doesn't always work that way. A lot of times, this is what I plan to write something forward thinking, and of course, news breaks somewhere else and I have to match it. But just trying to have a lot of situational awareness about what's coming up, where leadership is going to be speaking, what they intend to be talking about, and try to cover issues that will take time. The M27 issue isn't going to be solved resolved tomorrow. This is going to be a long-standing effort. So it's just checking back with people and saying, hi, it's been a week since we discussed this. Have there been any updates? And just constantly trying to be vigilant about what's going on, and that includes reading a lot of the other sources, like I said, the competition, and seeing what they're working on.
no easy task on any given day because it seems to come from all over the place. Here's another interesting email that's been kind of a theme of the naval services over the course of last year. Mac, first of all, interesting to have Jeff on. I read his stuff as well. I'm curious about his thoughts as he goes to the Pentagon about what's going on in the Navy. How does he see that playing out with our current Secretary of Defense? I think it's going to be one of the most interesting institutional stories in the near term for the naval services. Yeah, how do you see that?
Well, this is it is going to be interesting. Most of the what I've read about the Navy have been from my colleagues at Navy Times and USNI, and formerly of Defense News. I've tried to keep abreast of what's going on in the Navy. I really need to start talking to people to get a firsthand look at what are the factors at play. It's been well reported that some of the issues that the Navy is grappling with are simply having so many operations and too few ships. And if you want to have a presence in the South China Sea and you want to do everything else being asked of you with fewer ships, people are going to be out to sea longer, they're going to be away from their families longer, and the perennial issue of when do sailors get sleep, that's something. Apparently they are trying to put sailors on regular schedules to avoid sleep disruptions. Still, you have a Navy culture in which you pride yourself for being awake for long periods of time. I remember when I went to my friend's wedding, he was a surface warfare officer. One of his guests was a surface warfare officer. We were up for about, 36, 38 hours. I was really feeling it. And he was, checking in with his Navy buddy saying, "You tired yet?" "No, I'm not tired yet. Are you tired yet?" "No, of course not." So you do still have this institutional sense of pride that sailors, while, underway, just don't sleep. That is going to be a major cultural issue they need to deal with. And it also comes down to funding, which is if Congress and the White House really want the Navy to be this large of a presence in the world, that they need to not only build more ships, but make sure there is enough maintenance funding that the existing ships get the repairs they need so they're not laid up in dry dock for such a long time that someone else has to fill in for them. So there are a number of challenges. The Navy is doing its absolute best to meet them, and I look forward to finding out more.
We talk about this because we're fans of the Navy, and I would tell you that in the discussions we've had, Senator McCain in the last Senate Armed Services Committee that addressed this committee meeting, he talked about working 100 hours a week. And, 100 hours a week when you're deployed is 14 hours a day, which leaves you 10 free hours a day. Now, all the Marines that I've talked to on our deployments to Helmand and to Afghanistan and Iraq laugh at that. Like, if I could work 100 hours a week deployed, that would be awesome. And so this is just a Marine position from All Marine Radio. The whining about 100-hour work week while you're at sea is in our opinion, a joke. Now, there's a leadership component when I notice that Shoal can't stay awake. Right, it's my job as a leader to say, "Hey, McNamara, go get Musselman. Right, Shoal, you go to sleep. Musselman, you're going to stand here for the next 4 hours." And then I need to meet with Shogel in the morning when he wakes up, and I need to find out what's going on with him. That is just a constant leadership, task that we all deal with. So I find this 100 hours and the Navy's work too hard. I find it, in my opinion, it's not a function of 100 hours, that's for sure, because the Marine Corps has been doing 100 hours for a long-ass time while the Navy's been patrolling the waters fairly peacefully. And so I think that people that don't deploy get hung up on these things. Lack of sleep. If you're working 100 hours at sea, what else are you going to do? I will tell you this, though. Marines in undisciplined units, you know what they do when they get off? They don't go eat, they don't go work out, and they don't go to sleep. You know what they like to do? They like to play video games. They like to go watch movies. And we have all this technology that goes forward with us that allows them to do that. And then they're dragging their ass out of bed with 3 or 4 hours of sleep. And a lot of times it's not because they're working too much. It's because they're not being supervised in the 10 hours they have off every day of their 100-hour work week that allows them to go rejuvenate themselves. So,
well, the thing you have to understand about Navy deployments is it combines the somber responsibility of going downrange with all the, for lack of a better word, nonsense of being in garrison.
Right.
So imagine you just divide the day into 3 8-hour periods. When you're not on watch, you're doing your regular job, and then you're doing all the requirements that come up that the commander or the Navy thinks of, as in you need to do your professional military education. One problem is the internet connection is incredibly slow, and if you're not doing anything, they can always have you painting or making or some kind of maintenance or repairs to the ship. So you're essentially deployed and in garrison at the same time, and that's why it's eating into their sleep. It's, you know, they'll say, okay, I'll grab an hour here, I'll grab 3 hours there. It's never all at once, because they're constantly being, you know, if they're not, you know, in that war mindset, they are, you know, doing their regular, they're doing some other job, or they are doing something that takes care of the ship.
Interesting. Again, my opinion, it's a cultural problem. It's not an op-tempo problem, or they don't get their – it's a leadership cultural problem, and the Navy's become more and more civil and civilianized over the course of years in terms of my observations, and I think they need to go back to being a lean, disciplined, seagoing Navy. And I think that if some of the stories – that you read are astounding. I can't remember who he writes for Navy Times. You may know him, Jeff.
Jeff Zuzukowicz. Yeah,
exactly. He wrote a stunning piece that I read last week about a petty officer by the name of Mims that stowed away on the Shiloh. And the way the search was conducted, the fact that the chiefs conducted their own search without telling the officers, the fact that somebody saw him, did not report it for 90 minutes because they were afraid of him, and just the gong show that went on the Shiloh during that period of time. And that shit collided with nobody. And so I think the Navy's got deep, deep cultural problems, and it's not just op-tempo. Certainly everybody's been engaged over the last 17 years with op-tempo issues, but that's when leadership makes their money. And so I'll be very curious to see that. Jeff, I've got to take a break. Can you hold on for about 3.5
sure.
minutes? All right. My guest very graciously this morning is a man who needs, among Marines who read Marine Corps Times, no introduction, Jeff Strogel. He is moving now over to Task and Purpose, where you will find his byline in the future. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Wednesday edition right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marine.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Minutes after 8 o'clock here on a Wednesday. Privileged to be joined by a writer that's covered the Marine Corps for I'll let him tell. Jeff, how many years have you covered the Marine Corps?
For Marine Corps Times, but when I was at Stars and Stripes from 2005 to 2011, there were times when I also covered the Marine Corps.
All right. So again, if you read the Marine Corps Times or you see stories about the Marine Corps, Jeff Schogel's byline is prominent among them. I've got another email for you, Jeff, and then I want to talk about your new job and looking into your crystal ball for the Marine Corps. Mac, I'm not familiar with task and purpose. Don't make fun of me and call me an ignorant jackass, please. But could Jeff explain what it is and where do we find it? So, Jeff?
Well, it's at taskandpurpose.com. It's a media outlet, web-based, that focuses on veterans and the U.S. military. And we're trying to, we're looking for the news that most affects troops and veterans, looking for perhaps what the mainstream media might not hear. And my job is to make sure that we are asking senior leadership about what, how what they plan affects service members and their families.
And where is it taskandpurpose.com? Is Ann spelled out? Is it a symbol?
Sorry, the name is task and ampersand purpose, but no, it's taskandpurpose.com.
Okay.
With just spelled out TASKANDPURPOSE.
Okay, so that's where you find it. So and you'll see they how long has it been around?
Since about 2014.
All right, so it's relatively new, but one of the things that when I first crossed paths with it, one of the things I noticed was the quality of work they do, which is it is not simply the change of MRE fare or anything like that. What you'll find there is substantive work done by very professional writers. What in terms of you professionally? Were you looking to do different things, Jeff, or?
Yes, I had been covering the Marines for 2 years. I'd been at Military Times for a while, and it just turned out that they were looking for someone to cover the Pentagon, and they've been expanding. They originally started as an outlet from Higher Purpose, which is an organization that helps veterans get jobs, and this was an outgrowth of that. And I applied, and what they really want is someone to understand what's going on in the Defense Department, to stay ahead of the news, and to make sure that when the Defense Department makes any changes, that someone is there to ask them about, well, how does this affect the E4s, the E5s, and their families?
Got it. All right, let me go back to my line of interrogation with you. The look in the crystal ball relative to hold on, I have an email. Mac, you never finished your thought relative to social media and Marines United. I'd be curious, Jeff, as a reporter, somebody who's steeped in social media, the impact of social media on the whole Marines United issue in terms of inflammation of what will, at the end of the day, probably be a relatively small number of Marines made it into a huge event. Is that simply the lay of the land now? And what are his thoughts about institutionally how you deal with the firestorms that start in social media that ultimately, at the end of the day, are relatively small issues that you deal with? So your thoughts about that.
Well, I wouldn't call this a small issue. This kind of revenge pornography is more than just being a prankster or in good fun. I talked to one woman whose ex in the Marine Corps had not only shared pictures of her, but also said where she lived, and she was very concerned about her safety. I know the Marine Corps, one change they made is now you have to make a page 11 entry that says you have read the social media policy and you understand it. That means social media is a... it can ruin your Marine Corps career very quickly. There were a couple NCOs who were on some Facebook group, and it was a conversation about women in combat, and they ended up making disparaging comments about a woman in the chain of command. They immediately got NJP'd. I think they lost rank. I can't remember if they got confinement or restrictions. So while the number of Marines who either received court-martial, NJP, or administrative separation from this particular issue may not have been very big. Going forward, the Marine Corps and the Navy Department as a whole certainly has the tools to get rid of any Marines who conduct this type of behavior. If they're Marine veterans, there's less of a way to reach them. That would be probably federal authorities. But I don't want to underestimate Marines United. This is, social media, cyberbullying, revenge pornography was just not on the Marine Corps' radar screen before. Now it is. And that's a permanent change. It's not going to go back to the way things used to be. And as I said, this kind of lead behavior is now, it's now a violation of a regulation. So it is, this will have ramifications going forward. Anybody who thinks it's acceptable will find out the hard way, when they're given a choice between court-martial and just being NJP.
Yeah, I don't mean to. First of all, to me, the behavior is predatory. It's weaponizing an image, not just publishing the image, but with somebody's contact information. And clearly, that is something that ought not to be tolerated in the Marine Corps, in the DOD, or I would dare say at any university. But this is an issue that is being dealt with in grammar schools, in middle schools, in high schools, in colleges. And a friend of mine who's a general officer told me, he said, a lot of universities are looking to see how we deal with it because they don't nearly have the coercive tools that we have in the military. And they deal with the same population group, with the same raging hormones, and the same ability on social media to say what they want anonymously, no matter how brutal it is. So I don't mean to minimize that. I believe in the email, what he's referring to is the numbers that in a force of over almost 250,000 people, you have 20 people engaging and actually weaponizing this that are on active duty, yet it blows up, and the social media firestorm that surrounds it and literally engulfs the institution. And is that just and again, not only that, but the gender issues that surround women in combat in the Marine Corps have the same kind of inflammatory nature. And I want to ask you a question about that. The gender integration piece in the Marine Corps. How do you see that going?
It is going slowly but surely. They have a cadre of women in combat MOSs.
Right.
I believe it was last year the assistant commandant said it may not be large, but it's significant. There was last year you had the milestone of a woman passing infantry officer course. And there were Marines who simply believed this was not going to happen.
Right.
And every time I wrote about a woman not making it through the course, you would get a stream of comments saying that eventually the Marines are going to lower the standards to allow a woman to pass. They didn't. And she is the first. That's a real milestone.
Right.
So it is progressing. And we'll see. It did take a while. I think more than 30 women attempted IOC before this female officer passed it, but it is happening.
It is happening. Let me get a couple predictions for you, and then I'll let you go. My guest this morning from the website Task and Purpose is Jeff Schrogel, longtime writer both in Stars and Stripes and the Marine Corps Times about the Department of Defense, the American military, and the United States Marine Corps. Look into your crystal ball. Give me a couple of predictions for 2018.
Well, my record on predictions is perfect. I'm always wrong. 100% wrong. Right. But looking forward, there are several trouble spots around the world that I expect to be in the news. Afghanistan, you have the Islamic State in the eastern part of the country. The U.S. is trying to move the Afghan security forces from defense to offense ahead of the so-called fighting season. Syria and Iraq, ISIS is going back to its insurgent roots and going back to the bad old days when it was Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Of course, Africa, there was questions about the U.S. role in Niger, but that's just a snapshot of U.S. Special Forces are in a lot of countries training partner militaries. This is dangerous work, and the American public perhaps didn't understand how dangerous this is. And of course, the wild card is North Korea. That's a whole-of-government effort. The State Department is in the lead, but the Defense Department has to maintain is making absolutely sure that North Korea understands that it is lockstep behind the administration and the South Korean government that any attack on South Korea is unacceptable. So that's looking at around the world. At the Defense Department, expect a continued push on reforming readiness. Secretary Mattis had told the services that had told the Marine Corps, rather than expand in fiscal 2018, which we're in now, rather than going to 194,000 active duty Marines, he said, focus on readiness, especially aviation readiness, which you're dealing with combined effects of old aircraft, constant operations. You had to draw down. Marine Corps lost a lot of experienced maintainers. So he told the Marines, get well first. It'll be interesting to see when the budget comes out whether the Marine Corps expects to get bigger at all or whether they are still focused on repairing the damage done by Congress, years of continuing resolutions, of budget uncertainty, of just not thinking strategically, sequestration. It's going to take a while to fix what happened with sequestration. Those are the main things I can think of right now.
All right. If you had to identify, and this comes from an email, Mac, please ask him what he thinks is the greatest threat to the Marine Corps as we begin 2018. So, is it online behavior that gets us in people's crosshairs? Is it our struggle with aviation readiness? Is it our inability to say no to anything that's asked and stretches the force too thin, as you were describing with the Navy? That is certainly a Marine Corps affliction as well.
I would say it all traces back to the budget. If Congress eventually passes a spending bill in May, that means the Marine Corps only has 6 months to buy new equipment, such as new aircraft, replace the aircraft that are so old that they're falling apart, new vehicles to replace the Humvees so that Marines don't go into battle with hillbilly armor. That's an exaggeration, I'm sorry. But they don't go into battle with up-armored Humvees. The Marine Corps can plan as much as it wants to heal the damage done from years of war, from budget uncertainty, but if Congress cannot pass a spending bill on time, it does not have the full 12 months to get better. It all traces back to the budget.
All right. First of all, he's moved from Marine Corps Times to Task and Purpose. You can find him there. This is kind of the general question I ask upon you exiting. Is there anything that I haven't asked, been smart enough to ask you that you would like to enlighten us about?
I thought this was the Eagles' year. I was disappointed.
Carson Wentz,
I really thought this was going to be it, but it is not meant to be.
It was not meant to be. The You know, I stopped watching the NFL, and just about the time I stopped watching the NFL, the 49ers traded for a new quarterback, and let me tell you, time just ran out on us. We were headed for the playoffs, the hottest team in football, and they're lucky that they shut it down, because had they not, the 49ers would be back. So I share your pain. I'll tell you what, I spent some time in North Dakota, and the people there, I don't know that you can express the amount of pride that they take in Carson Wentz, the national championships that he delivered for North Dakota State, and even watching him perform with the Eagles. They follow him closely. He comes back and does good things in the region, he might be the heir apparent to Tom Brady in terms of a guy who thinks it and can do it. He just needs to probably show a little bit more discretion in terms of putting his head down and diving into the end zone, maybe.
Well, that, but, I mean, a torn ACL, I mean, first of all, if I ever had a torn ACL, that would be it. I would never run again. the excruciating pain would be enough. But, you know, he's out for a year. Yeah, that is a significant injury. I mean, there's nothing about that that's minor, so I don't know when he comes back. I mean, you're never going to be 100% from that. I'll be happy when he returns, but that is, you're talking a long haul. And, you know, it's so easy to get so badly hurt.
Come on, quit being a Philadelphia fan and have a little hope. Come on.
Well, they made a movie about the guy who walked onto the Eagles, Vince Papale, and at the very end they said that 2 years later the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. What they neglected to mention is, one, Papale was not on that team, and two, they lost. So you say, well, you're a Philly fan, you're pessimistic. It comes from experience.
Oh, I know. Well, look, first of all, if the Cubs can do it, anybody can do it, okay? So there is hope, and as we start a new year, I hope you take those words seriously and take them to heart. But Jeff, first of all, on a serious note, thank you for doing this. I enjoy your work. I know a lot of our listeners enjoy your work, and all the best of luck to you at Task and Purpose.
Thank you so much.
All right, there you have it. Jeff Shogel, formerly of Marine Corps Times, who I'm sure all of us have read very much about him, and we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here. We'll check some more news headlines as we continue here on a Wednesday right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light, put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOC community should be aware of.
The Global SOC Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsocfoundation.org/Marines.